Hey, I hope that worked. All right, where's Paul at? All right, he's in Ephesus. We looked Wednesday night at the fact that he had to write the letters back to the churches of Galatia. Now he's going to have to write things to church over in Corinth. Kind of get a heads up on that as we turn back to Acts chapter 19 and kind of look at that for a minute. Kind of set the stage maybe for looking at today. Kind of carrying our narrative along, though. Again, we see him in Acts chapter 19 in Ephesus. He had to deal with those who only knew the baptism of John. He is spending about 2 years, according to verse 10, teaching the Jews and Greeks. Picking up in verse 10 and 11, see that Paul is able to do miracles, and I guess these would be a little out of the ordinary, in the fact that it said even those who would bring handkerchiefs or aprons or so forth and touch the body of Paul, then using those, they would be able to cure diseases, cast out evil spirits, and so forth. Next thing in verse 13, if it weren't so serious, it'd be funny. There were some guys who had watched Paul as he dealt with evil spirits and so forth. So they thought they would try their hand at it. So they went about saying, "We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preached." But what happened? They able to do that? Now they had the right idea, you know, by Christ, you know, but their result was not quite like what it was when Paul spoke those words. Evil spirit in the man that they were trying to cast it out said, "Paul, I know, but who are you?" Overcame them, prevailed against them, run them out of the place, house. As a result, what was the result of all of this? On throughout there in verse 18 says, "And many believed," and so forth, and confessed some of the deeds that they were doing, and bringing some of the books they had used, burned those books, found to be about 50,000 pieces of silver, and so mightily grew the work of God and prevailed. In verse 10, there was one statement there that really caught my mind. That, "And so, as Paul continued, and so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord, had the command, go and teach all nations." Then this amount of effort had gone on. All right, in verse 21, though, kind of changes the discussion here a little bit and begins to get into glasses. That after these things were ended, Paul purposed in the Spirit, he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, go to Jerusalem, said, "After I have been there, also home." So he sent into Macedonia two of them that ministered unto him, Timotheus or Timothy and Erastus, that have stayed in Asia season. It's believed that it is at this point, this is the lead-in where Paul actually wrote Corinth. He's staying in Ephesus, sending some people far in, hopefully straighten out some of the things going on in the church. If you would, turn over, though, to the last chapter. And for, I hate to start on the back of the book, but sometimes you need to kind of peek, see how it ends, maybe to help you understand some of the things that are going on up front. Give us a little insight, though, into who wrote the book, along with chapter 1 and verse 1. Obviously, we know that Paul wrote the book. But if you look at chapter 16, verse 21, see that Paul says, "The salutation of me, Paul, with mine own hand." So, signing off, saying, "This is, in fact, the letter from me, on the shadow of a doubt," putting his signature on it ever. But he mentions in chapter 1, verse 1, that he says, "Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother." So possibility that Sosthenes may have physically wrote the letter, Paul dictating it as the Spirit directed him. Then he signs off to the letter from him. Already mentioned that it was written from Ephesus, but also see this 8, that he would tarry at Ephesus till Pentecost. But we know that it was probably written somewhere in the early spring, probably around AD 54, early reign of. Now, why did he stay Ephesus until Pentecost? Say about that. He said, I want to tarry here until Pentecost. Why? Verse 9. Okay. All right. Everything's wonderful then, isn't it, Greg? Oh, I didn't read the rest of the verse, I guess. No, he says, there's great opportunity. However, there are many adversaries, and we'll find out some of that later on as we go past. Well, who was still with him in Ephesus when he wrote the letter? Look at verse 12. He had tried to get Apollos to go with the ones that were going there, Timothy and Erastus. I think we would include those were the two he's talking about. He said, touching Apollos, I greatly desired him to come to you with their brethren, but his will was not to do so at the time. We also see in verse 19 that churches of Galatia, of Asia, salute you along with Aquila and Priscilla. See them there, Apollos, Aquila, and Priscilla. They're still at Ephesus with Paul as he begins work. We also get a little insight. We saw that a little bit in chapter 19 of Acts, but what Paul plans to do just in 5 and 6. Now, I want to come to you, but I'm going to pass through Macedonia, abide with you, maybe during the week that you may bring me on my hoping to go later that year. Now, we mentioned earlier that he had sent Timothy, and according to Acts chapter 19, verse 2, Timothy and Erastus head that chapter 4 and verse 17 again mentions Timothy. Chapter 16 mentions Timothy. But Erastus is only mentioned over. Well, was Paul sure that Timothy would get to Corinth before the letter arrived? No. Verse 10. Now, if Otheus come, that he may be with you without fear, for I also do, therefore despise him, lift him forth, that he may come unto me, for I look for him, brethren. Expecting to bring word back, hopefully. But he also, you have to read 2 Corinthians, bit 2, who is actually going to deliver the letter. Timothy and them are going to go ahead, but look at 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 6 and 7. Find out there, Paul, very anxious about how these people would receive this first letter, said, nevertheless, God that comforted those that are cast down, comforted us by the coming of Titus, not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you, told us of your earnest desire, your fervent mind, told so that I rejoiced the more. So, again, from this context, Titus also. Now, we'll get into why the book was written and how. This is kind of what I put on the board. Some of the issues that he had to discuss or had to address, how he may have gotten some insight into what was going on. Know for sure, look at chapter 16, we know for sure that there were came from Corinth to Ephesus, primary reason, latter part of the verse, for that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied, so they may have brought type of support. That's an indication. But they may have brought the letters, chapter 7. We know that for some way he had received a list of questions. I suppose these people brought those questions. He said, neither of you wrote unto me. That's one way he back at chapter 5 and verse 1. Again, I don't know exactly what all this means. How common knowledge it was that this man, having his father's wife, being fornication with her, But he said it's reported commonly. Whether it was widely known throughout the whole area, or whether that meant commonly known in the congregation at Corinth. Somehow or another, he gets information back about that. But also chapter 1 and verse 11, some from the household of Chloe made known all. These are the things that I found. Find anything they have. Let me say one more thing before we talk about the issues. Look at the first few verses of 1 Corinthians. I mentioned this long in our discussion on Galatians. This is a typical introduction Paul uses most of his letters. Talk about the Galatian letter. Didn't have many kind things to say to them. He just got into the matter at hand. Here we see Paul again saying that he was called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father, Lord Jesus. And I thank my God always your behalf for the grace of God which is given you, that in everything you are enriched by him, all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming, also confirm that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, called unto the fellowship. Now, look at that word that begins. So what are some of the issues we have to deal with? Okay, divisions, contention. I'd say, preacher, that's what we got to deal with.
What? Going in order.
No, well, you can. Yeah, we can go in order. We can go any order we want to. Okay. Yeah, still babe in Christ. He could not talk to them about spiritual things. They were still carnal. Strife, envy, jealousy, and so forth. And it kind of comes back, almost leads back to that Apollos. I'm Apollos, I'm a Paul, whatever. So he has to show that the wisdom of man, the wisdom of the world, is just foolishness compared to the wisdom of my middle son. We're talking about this. When he lists all those things that Albert talked about, look over in chapter 6. Talked about fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, users of themselves, of mankind. Such were some of you, verse. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified. Amen. I said, think about maybe this comment that talked about back over there about all the people in. Maybe we did more, quote, evangelizing of the world might be said about us, but some were. So if we look at the city of Corinth and so forth, talked about this, how worldly it was and so forth. Sailors coming through town, coming into port all the time. So it's no wonder that you piss all these things and say, and such were. It's not only the man dealing with his stepmother, the reason why they were to confront. All right. Other comments? What other kind of problems he's got to deal with? Brothers to brother going to mom. Have others who can judge. More of the world. All right. Yeah. Issues concerning marriage and so forth. Can you marry? Can't you marry? How long you should be married, lots of issues there. Some things that, okay, but because of the effect, that gets into the matter of rights, doesn't it, James? We have certain rights to do things, but we don't necessarily need to be doing it. Just deal with that again, just like you did in the book. They did Paul and Apollos and others, price that they had paid. Use of the Lord's Supper. Had problems anyway. Talk about that in chapter 11. Feast out of I like the last verse there. I'm not sure what I exactly where I like. Yeah, I like it. Verse 34. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home. Come not together unto condemnation, and the rest will I set in order when I come. So again, he's indicating I'm going to come. Yes. All right? Common practices. Fast, feet, offered idols. And he said, that's okay. Nothing wrong with it, but again, that's one of those issues you have to be careful with, what impact it might have on others. You don't go in and eat the meat offered to idols in their temple. Obviously, that's not the thing to do. All right. Yeah, based on what they're doing up to that point, they're right, Gary. All of them have spiritual gifts, and here they are bickering about which one is the best. Go for it. Bickering back and forth, and he said, "There, real love is all about." And the characteristics of love, beautiful. There is a better way than what. No matter what you can do, what kind of gifts you got, have love. Yesterday, one whole chapter. If there was no resurrection, we have the consequences of that. Right. Anybody say that again? I'm sorry. Yeah. Okay, chapter 16, turning the election and so forth. Told them earlier, and they just dragging their feet, and has to deal with them. All right. Comments, thank you. Let's go back and maybe look a little bit more in detail at some of these things, and we'll spend come Wednesday night, Lord willing, maybe. Okay, back in chapter 1. Starts out by giving them thanks and praise them and so forth. Then he says in verse 10, but there's some things you need to do. Perfectly joined together in the same mind and judgment. And the only way you can do that, simple solution. Got it. Got the answer. Right here. Now I imagine they had it too, nearly in the form we got it here, but Paul had spent some time talking to them and back things that you've talked about. And the way you're not going to have the problems that he's addressed is to be perfectly joined together. It says, oh, divisions, contentions, and so forth. He asked the question, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Baptized in the name of Paul? And some of them were just saying, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas. That's not going to hack it. One, gospel. Not the wisdom of words, less the cross of Christ. It's through the gospel. No matter who's preaching it, gospel is being taught. That's what he deals with primarily. Then, as Greg mentioned, there were some who seemed to be puffed up, worried about worldly wisdom versus God's wisdom, and has to deal with that, 17 or 18. Deals with it all the way through chapter 2. Finds them, oh, in verse 26 of chapter 1. For you see your calling, brother, how that not many wise after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. God hath chosen the foolish things of the world, wise God has chosen the vote. Very educated general is probably. See, a lot of times people start getting on up in the quote, start seeing them. Plan is just got to try to find got it right heart. If we got the right heart, the right attitude, have them here in Limestone, off over there, so forth. And it's sad. Depending on their wisdom, not on the wisdom, speaks in the latter part of chapter 2 about the fact that what he was preaching had been revealed to them by the Spirit. Indicates in verse 10 that the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, that all the things he is teaching, they have been revealed. They reveal part of God. Well, he said, we have received not the Spirit of the Word, which is of God. I know the things that are freely given. Also we speak, not in the words, wearing spiritual things. So that seemed to be a real question. Comments? Chapter 2? Talk, I'm about losing my voice. Okay, chapter 3, though, starts with what Gary mentioned. The fact that these people had not grown like they should have. He considered them even babes. That I fed you with milk, not with meat. Hitherto you were not able to bear it neither, yet now are ye able. Verse 2. You're not growing. You're yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envy and strife, divisions, are you not carnal and walk? It kind of alludes back to what he was talking about a little bit in chapter 1, because again he's saying, who then is Paul? Who is Apollos? All they are, he says, are ministers, even as the Lord gave to every man. Planted, Apollos watered, but who gave the increase? God. But he said it doesn't matter whether you plant, whether you water, God's going to give the increase. Or we're just laborers together with God. You're God's husbandry, God's
building.
He says the building, though, has to be built on the right foundation. 11, for other foundation can no man lay that which is laid, which is Christ. So you have to be careful about what foundation have. In the latter part of the chapter, talks a little bit about not defiling the body by doing things that we ought not to do. Because, he said, we are temple of God. It's holy. Therefore, careful about what you do. File that body, the temple.
Yes.
As man, I think.
So, okay, Wayne, one comment, and then we'll...
Every time you study, you're going to... Daniel mentioned, whenever he was us, about everything we did. And it was a good lesson, Daniel. That's the way we grow. Appreciate your comments, and Lord willing, we'll pick up with chapter 4, I guess. Try to get through the rest of it.